guest today is Samet Basu. Samet, how are you?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Didn't you wear that shirt last time you were on the show?
Yes, we are. Well, we are still at that conference, and this is just, I mean, tech conferences like this are awesome. This one especially has a special touch to it, given that we are at an African safari-type resort. So we are camp counselors here.
Camp counselors, yeah, instead of speakers. Last time we talked about Windows 8 in general, and you talked about how you've been building applications and designing applications for your customers. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of ways to build applications for tablets, for phones, for any of these kind of disconnected remote devices. There's a lot of challenges that don't exist on the desktop. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So it's 2012, and computing, as we know it, is sort of changing as far as I see it. No longer are we tied to a desktop or one laptop. We all have possibly too many devices that we would like to have. I mean, we all have multiple tablets and laptops and phones and all that. So we want to live this connected life where our data, stuff that you and I care about, our photos, our documents, it needs to move with us. And we need to have that continuous experience as I move between devices, between my phone, my TV, and my PC. Right, so it is a challenge because it's not just one ecosystem. All three of the big guys, Microsoft, Apple, and Google, they're all trying to hook you onto this their ecosystem. And we want to do something which is a little more maybe open standard-ish so that maybe I could have a MacBook Pro, I could have a Windows 8 tablet, and a Windows phone, and an Xbox, or maybe a Nexus Q, and we all want to have the same data move across devices. So it is a challenge to write applications which are that connected and lets the user roam between devices.
Yeah, and as you said that, I was thinking that you are primarily a Microsoft developer, and yet here in front of you is a device with a picture of an Apple on it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. A lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
They don't really care about brand names. They want something that's going to work.
Right. We are technologists, right? So we will use whatever is really nicely made and convenient to us, right? And that's what technology should uplift our lives. It's not the other way around.
So let's talk about some of the options that we as developers have in accomplishing what you just described, this kind of magical world of I've got these mobile devices. I use the word disconnected. That's wrong. They're very much connected through Wi-Fi, through the internet, through cell phone services and text services. And I want to sync them all up, and I want to have my data available, and I want it to be my data.
Sure.
That's a lot to ask. But
yes, it is. So we have a few options, obviously. There are choices. So in this day and age, if we are not considering some sort of a cloud service, we are possibly not thinking broad enough, okay. Right? And there are cloud offerings from multiple vendors. So we being Microsoft developers, I mean, we start out with Windows Azure as our first option. But it is important to look at what Amazon or some of the other providers are doing. Mm-hmm. And there are similar offerings. So let's look at some sort of a cloud storage, some sort of services that live outside our devices. Because if we are looking to make a shopping list app, maybe that your whole family shares, you just cannot put data just on the device itself. It has to be outside. So, and we're talking about not just data, but settings and things like that. So let's use some sort of a cloud service that helps us first put data outside of the device, and two, is no matter how highly we think of our smartphones or tablets, they're not really that computationally great in terms of power, and the more important thing is preserving battery life. So it takes some of the processing out of the devices and puts it on the cloud. So some of the things that we have done while doing our Windows 8 applications, and by we, I mean we got some developers in Sujeti who are very, very smart, smarter than who I am. Yeah, and we get to work with some very good designers as well, so we make visually stunning applications. So we have used cloud services in terms of SQL Azure, where we host relational data for enterprises in SQL Azure, and then give you access to it through REST endpoints, right? And you have multiple options here. You can do REST, you can do things like OData, mm-hmm. OData services, which are very easy to expose on top of any relational database, no matter what be it, and then have your applications running on multiple devices access the same data and the same services, and that's how you keep things in sync. And especially with Windows 8, another thing that's coming out is something called roaming settings. So if you are trying to write, let's say, a book reader application on a tablet, if I am on the tablet and then I had to leave the tablet, go somewhere else, And when I pick up my phone and open up the same book reader, I want you to remember where I left off.
Which right? page am I? Yep.
Yep. So those are the kind of things where you can keep things in sync between multiple devices because your settings are just in the cloud.
Okay. So we can write applications to access, we can expose web services and to things like SQL Server, and then we can call the web services from our mobile devices. There's some things that are built in that we can just take advantage of that we don't even have to write as much code for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, if you're doing enterprise or line of business stuff where you have to build things on your own, sure, you go to Azure, you go to Amazon, build your web services on top of your data and access that way. If you're doing more on the personal side of things, where you're trying to make an app that just gets you in the marketplace, makes a name for yourself, then you should be looking at some services which are already built in. On the Microsoft stack, this is something, it's called Microsoft Live Services. It has been around for quite a while now. And actually, I mean, when we first saw the Apple commercials of take a picture on your iPhone and it shows up on your iPad, we were like, oh, we could do this for like 5 years. But it's coming, it's all grown up now with Windows 8, and they realize that they have all of these services built in, why not leverage them more? So Live Services actually comprises of three or four different things. So we got SkyDrive, which is your online storage. And by default, right now, if you go and sign up for a new account, you get 7 gigs of storage on the cloud. But you can now also get 25 gigs, 50 gigs, 100 gigs, and just consume as much as you want.
Is that for pay?
There is a tiny bit of annual charge, and it's really not much. And most of us who have been using SkyDrive for a while, we get 25 gigs for free.
That's quite a bit.
Which is quite a bit. Yeah. So there is SkyDrive, which hosts all your documents, all your photos. So I want my family photos to move with me, so it helps in that regard. And then there is Hotmail, or live email, or now we call it Outlook.com. Right, so all of these are, these are more like infrastructure, software as a service, SaaS. They are cloud services, but they are just have been built in, and we have been using them for a long time. But the nice thing about these things now is Microsoft has opened up nice APIs for developers to leverage some of the stuff that's built in, right? So if I'm writing, let's say, a photo application for your phone or your tablet, I immediately need to think about, where do you store that photo? Where do you store your data, right? And yes, you could have it on the device, but then that makes it local. But I need to take it out and put it in the cloud. Do I host stuff on my end? Do I buy Azure subscriptions and host it for my users? Which, if my app gets very popular, that's a good problem, but I also have to buy a lot of stuff. So why not leverage something which the user already knows and has access to, right? And that's your SkyDrive. So you immediately have a place to put stuff out of your phone or out of your tablet onto the cloud. Mm-hmm. Hotmail is a good example where, Hotmail doesn't always come with the right positive attitudes. It's been around for a while, but
they just beefed it up a little bit. It looks a lot nicer now.
Yes. So Outlook.com and SkyDrive, they're all metrified on the website of things. So email, right? All of my friends across multiple social networks are on my friends list. They're on my contacts list,
right,
on my phone, on my tablet, because there are services which let us hook onto Twitter and Facebook and live accounts so that all my contacts are in one place, right? So if I make you an app which immediately brings your friends and your wife and your kids and your family into the app, it's more inviting for you, right? So those are APIs which we can use to pull down the things about the user, let him sign on, and then he has access to all of this stuff. And the other great thing that Live Services do right now is something called single sign-on. So single sign-on is something we have been trying to do for a long, long time, and everybody has their own share. What it is we hate signing on to websites. Like, there are thousands and thousands of user IDs and passwords that we have to maintain, and as an enterprise developer, yes, it makes sense to either use Windows authentication or something like a forms authentication, user ID and password. But we developers in this day and age, for personal apps, we need to get out of the business of authenticating the user, because we are immediately looking to build like a user ID password flow. Then you might forget your password, so I need security questions. You might forget your security questions, and then you might need to call me, right? So all of this security stuff is something I have to build before I write one line of my application code, right? So let's get out of that business and let Windows Live Services sign you on with your Windows Live account.
Okay.
So let Microsoft authenticate. If you want to take it to the next level, do something like Azure Access Control Service. So maybe you're using your Google or your Twitter or your Facebook, any of the established identity providers, let them authenticate the user because they know how to do security right. You just trust the tokens that you get back for a user, and then you go and access other services and pull down information about the user.
Just did a show with Vittorio Bertocci about those services.
He's the Windows Identity Foundation guru.
He was known for that. He's actually moved to the Azure team, though, recently.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's nice.
Tell me about these APIs. Are they are these REST APIs? Are they .NET APIs? What do they look like?
Sure. So, again, we are talking about open standards here. So some of these.
Let's start with the live stuff. Windows Live stuff. How are those exposed?
Well, they are open standards. So they use technologies which are very standard and nothing proprietary to Microsoft. Things like OAuth, things like REST, things like XMPP for messenger type IAM services. So
I'm not familiar with XMPP.
That's extensible markup. Protocol for presence, I forget the last P.
Okay.
But it's a way of you sharing the status of whether you're online or whether you're away from your desk and so on. Things like that you get in your like chat application.
Okay.
So it uses standard technologies. So it's easier for us to build applications on iOS, Android, web, desktop, mobile, all across the board.
Okay.
Right?
So it's not a .NET API that you just set a reference.
Well, yes and no. Okay. So it does use those standard APIs, and the REST endpoints are there. But on top of it, it's like friends with benefits, right? So they have built up some .NET wrappers.
Okay.
So there are SDKs for use in Windows Phone and Windows 8. So that makes it very, very easy for you to utilize these APIs without actually having to go and code up your HTTP packets.
Okay.
So you're just doing it through the just method calls on
sure.
these APIs.
Sure, that is a lot simpler. The type, the IntelliSense works a little bit easier,
yes,
and
exactly.
It's a little more type safe and so on.
Exactly.
What are some good resources for people to build applications like this?
Sure. So one of the best places to start, and I keep saying this, I mean, MSDN, it may have had a bad rap in the past, but go take a look at Windows 8 stuff now. Go take a look at some of the live services documentation. It is very, very solid. So the best place to start is dev.live.com.
Okay.
So that is the developer portal home for all kinds of live services. You can learn about SkyDrive APIs, how you have access to the user's contacts and his calendar, and then his friends list on Messenger. So all of that is well documented, and they put out code samples so you can know how to use it in iOS or Android, Windows Phone, Windows 8. So they actually have code samples in all five different languages.
Excellent.
And platforms. So great place to start.
Excellent. Tell people where they can find more about SAM.
Well, you can connect with me anytime on Twitter, @Samadip. I can be a little obnoxious, but that's the quickest way to get hold of me.
Yeah.
And then most of what I write and speak on is on my blog, which is samadipbasu.com.
Sam, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for having me, sir. Always a pleasure. Technology and friends, isn't that what life is about as a geek? So let technology uplift your life and have fun with your family and friends.